All right, the Senate Transportation will come to order. It's February the 8th at approximately 1:35 in the afternoon. We have a quorum. Senator Ward, Senator Big Guy again, Wilkin is here, and we're the first thing. The other members, we also have Senator Elton here. And the first thing up we're going to deal with is the committee substitute for House Bill 44, Transportation. We've got somebody to testify on this and explain it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Grasser, staff to Representative Beverly Masick. And Representative Masick introduced House Bill 44 in recognition of a true Alaskan hero. Joe Reddington Sr. was a legend, and he played a huge part in starting the Iditarod Sled Dog Race, which has brought Alaska worldwide recognition. Joe's determination and singular purpose of mind led to the Iditarod through all kinds of obstacles. The Iditarod Sled Dog Race is a uniquely Alaskan event, and we felt that this further recognition of Mr. Reddington would be appropriate. The designation of the road, Goose Bay Road, would start in Wasilla and go just past the Reddington homestead, or the old where Joe's dog lot was. And so the sign, when you were coming back in from, like, say, the Little Sioux, where people go fishing, or Port McKenzie, would be right about where Joe and Vi Reddington lived, and the Reddington family still lives. And so people would see the sign going out of Wasilla, and they would see the sign coming back into the old town of Kinnick, right where the Reddingtons lived. This bill passed the House unanimously, and we would appreciate the support of the Senate.
Thank you. Is there any where are we at here?
I don't know where I'm at.
Somebody has to sit next to
I'd like to note that we have a full, all the members present now. And is there any questions? Hearing none. Is there anyone online or anybody to testify on this? Hearing none, what's the will of the...
Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute House Bill Number 44, Transportation, be moved out of committee with individual recommendations.
Any opposition?
No, I support it. Great idea.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Next thing up is Bill 3. And that is an act making special appropriation for studies for the northern access to Denali National Park and Preserve, and providing for an effective date. And we have the sponsor here, and Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the committee members have a proposed CS that includes the dollar amount of $330,000. After the original bill was introduced in conversations back and forth between our office and DC and the DOT, we determined that the proper calculation for the state required match, we had miscalculated, and that was actually $330,000. For the committee's information, I became interested in this not only because my new Senate district includes the Denali borough and this area of the state of Alaska, but also Senator Frank Murkowski came to Fairbanks and met with the Interior delegation this fall to discuss a number of items. One of the things that he expressed concern to the Interior delegation on was the fact that language had been included in federal legislation appropriating or authorizing a certain amount of federal dollars for the Northern Access study that the state had failed to match. It's my understanding that DOT does have this project on its stiff, but I believe due to environmental opposition, the administration has put it out as a possible project in the future past the Knowles administration's term in office so that they can try to avoid any criticism for the project. Senator Murkowski did stress that he thought that the legislature should step forward and make the match and get the study that he envisioned underway. The money is intended to match $1.32 million allocated as a high priority funds in the federal 1998 Transportation Act for this 21st century at T21. The legislature has previously passed two resolutions, HDR 28 in 1994, supported an increased access near Mount McKinley through establishment of a visitor activity area in Kantishna, and SGR 25 was passed in 1997, supported enhancement of visitor access through development of a northern railroad route. Despite those resolutions and the fact that the federal government had categorized the project in its high priority funds, the state transportation improvement programs does not include the match money until 2002. While recognizing that appropriations are usually considered in the context of larger spending measures, I did introduce Senate Bill 3 at the urging of Senator Murkowski to generate the discussion and highlight the need for this important project. Northern Access Route would both increase the number of visitors currently restricted by vehicle capacity limits and expand the shoulder and winter tourism season. The concept of the Northern Access Route has been endorsed by the National Park System Advisory Board in its resolution of 12-14-94, the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce, Fairbanks North Star Borough, Anchorage Municipal Assembly, City of Nenana, Anchorage Star of the North Chamber of Commerce, City of Seward, Alaska Visitors Association, Anchorage CVB, and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska, amongst others. I know we have received some letters of support, which I believe are in your package. I've just now seen the opposition memo put out by the Alaska Conservation Voters, and I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. On the back page, they talk about the South Denali Development. It's my understanding that there is currently only minimal funding for that effort, and although this, I believe, makes it sound like facilities are being developed and are near actual construction in the South Denali area. Also, the last bullet there, which talks about, I think it's the one that talks about how Taxpayers for Common Sense has said that a second access route into Denali is one of the 10 worst road projects in America. What we're actually talking about here is doing the study, and I would envision that if it's determined that a rail access, which I personally support, is the best and preferred way of providing this access, that could be developed by private sector. It wouldn't necessarily have to be done with the taxpayers' nickel. Also, it talks about Denali Park is not proposing a closed-door policy towards park users, and that the current system is supposedly able to handle traffic for the next 10 years or so. While that may or may not be true, I believe that the fact that you could take even the current number of visitors, and if you had half of them go north or go into the park on a bus, they'd be met by the other half coming in by rail, and by rail would then come out of the park on the same buses that went in, you could serve the same population with half as many vehicles. So to me, it seems like rail access into the park is something that you can control. You can serve the existing population, or the existing visitor population better, increase population in a more environmentally sensitive manner. So I think it would make sense for the state to go ahead, make this match so that we can get this study underway at the urging of our congressional delegation.
Thank you. Are there questions?
Mm-hmm. I guess one.
Senator Ward,
and
then Senator
Davis. I know it's not your paper, and I just got it too, but do we, Mr. Chairman, do we know which the other 9 worst roads in America are?
I don't.
I'd like to get that information if I could.
Okay.
Are any other ones in Alaska, you think?
I think so. I think that's I don't know the sponsor. Can you respond to that?
I just saw this today, and there may be a website for the taxpayers for Common Sense that might have that information, but I'm not aware of where the others might be.
I'll ask staff to contact them and ask them for that.
That'd be good. I'd like to know that.
Yeah, just a couple questions. Has the right-of-way been laid out and is designated? This road's been around for a long time, I think, hasn't it?
There is a gentleman here from DOT that might be able to answer the specifics. There are, of course, the Wolf Townships, which is one of the areas that extends into the park, actually not inside the boundary.
I'm not familiar with Wolf Townships.
It's an area that extends to the west off of the park's highway.
And is that private land?
It's state land.
Oh, I see, state land. Okay.
It goes, that would be, it's envisioned to be part of the access route. From that point, then into, through Stampede and all the way into Kantishna, is inside the park boundaries and federal land. Whether there is, I don't believe there is an identified right of way, that's part of what this study money would do.
Yeah, well, your study, your wording here is that for an environmental analysis and other necessary studies, and I figured instead of having to do an environmental analysis on an entire watershed or something back there, it might be preferable, if it was designated, that would be what you'd be studying. My only recommendation would be that you add the words, after environmental analysis, preliminary engineering, and other studies. That way, at least you're going to get a P-line through there indicated by someone, and then really on your environmental analysis, you're talking about effects to the environment from so many feet from the center line of the road, and it's a little bit more defined is all I was saying, and you might, running a P-line through there is not a expensive or time-consuming process. It's a matter of having somebody actually walk through there and make a decision. Do we want it up on the hillside or a little more down in the flat and that kind of stuff. One other question, if I could.
Would you like to comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, why don't I see if my staff has an answer to that as far as the exact, whether the...
Please come forward.
But she's had extensive conversations with DOT.
Hello.
Yeah, we hear you. You're not quite up yet.
In my discussions with Senator Murkowski's office, and Jim O'Toole is staff to Senator Murkowski and should be online.
Oh.
We set him up as an off-net site.
Okay.
He could...
Well, maybe Jim could address that.
No, he could speak to that.
Is Tim online?
Jim O'Toole?
Jim O'Toole, are you online?
Sure. Yes. Mr. Chairman,
can
you answer any questions
I have? Just the question is, of the proposed change of Senator Taylor. Would you have comments on that? And he had other, on his conversation, would you have any comments on that?
If I could, Mr. Chairman, I don't know what words of art you might want to put in there, but probably the horse ought to come in front of the cart. Somebody ought to kind of figure out where they want that route to go and then do the environmental analysis. And in previous bills, what we've often put in is EIS and preliminary engineering, so kind of one goes hand in glove with the other. And there may be even the words additional or necessary studies might also be important to still have in there. That's just a suggestion and something you might think about. As far as an amendment to the bill, it's nothing I'm prepared to do anything on today, but you might just kick it around with your sources and see if it does help. If it doesn't, leave it out, you know.
Senator Taylor, we did receive a letter from the Federal Highway Administration because of the wording in the T21 bill is to construct Northern Denali Access.
Right.
In their interpretation, construct is a very broad term, and it includes studies, environmental, all work incidental to construction.
Sure, but preliminary engineering brings you even a little tighter on to that legislation, probably. My other question was, and a concern that I really have about this, is that this legislature has been trying to shove a chain uphill now on that road throughout the 6-year tenure of this administration. And there's absolutely nobody pulling on the other end. In fact, there's a whole bunch of people on the other side trying to stop this project. That's why it doesn't show up in the STIP, or if it does show up in the STIP, it's clear off in Never Never Land. My recommendation would be that you do not appropriate this money to DOT. Is there a way within the appropriation from the federal government that the money, the state match to acquire that funding can be diverted and placed with another authority? In other words, is there a borough in the area that would like to see that road built? Or is there another public entity to which we could convey the state's funding so they control whether or not that funding would actually be spent? Otherwise, you're going to pass a bill, and the governor won't veto it probably because he doesn't want to take the heat. And at that point in time, you'll think you've accomplished something, and the money will never be spent. Your grandchildren will be sitting here asking what happened to the money. So that's my concern.
Senator Taylor, I believe we have to make the match. The state would make the match. It's my understanding, and I believe we have Mayor Gonzalez online from the Denali Borough. The Denali Borough would like to then receive the money. And they have, in fact, lined up a consultant that would actually
do the work.
Oversee the work. It would be contracted out, but it would oversee the work.
See, you're way ahead of me on this thought process, but it may be necessary to put something in this bill that says that the money goes to the Department of Transportation for these purposes and must be transferred to that borough which will do the work.
Senator Taylor, we have a letter here from the Denali Borough to the commissioner asking for a transfer of responsibility agreement, which would allow the borough to do this. I don't know the order in which, whether they can grant the transfer of responsibility agreement, or if we have to appropriate the money first. That would be something DOT could answer.
I would think it'd be something you want to check with legal on, to see if we can actually put that into the bill itself. So there isn't any discretionary aspect left with the Department of Transportation, that our intent is very clear, and that is that the money flow through them to the borough so that this work actually gets done. I'd suggest you really check with them on it. And it may have something to do with the way the federal law is written on how the money flows, but I would make it as tight as you possibly can. One last thing. I think that covered it. I had written down the words private sector. You might want to even, but apparently John has already thought about that one, so there's no reason to put it in.
I'd like to again thank our good friend in my part of the world for giving us glass, or water, is Gil Serrano. This will cure baldness, senility, and everything, I understand. But anyway, recognized.
Well, this is the second time that you've passed out the bottled water, and the first time you assured us that this was not runoff from the park strip in May. So, the bottle, and it tasted very good, Mr. Chair.
High quality water.
I thought it was park strip.
To the sponsor, I will ask this question of the representative from the Department of Transportation Public Facilities also. I mean, it just seems to me that unless you've heard something more concrete. I mean, if the project is on the STIP, I mean, it seems difficult for me to. There is a bias in the department toward, spending the money to do this, and I'd be interested if you've heard anything else that speaks exactly to why it's on the STIP, where it's at, or.
Excuse me, through the chair, Senator Elton. In my conversations with DOT, I was told. The money is, once it's authorized in the high priority funds, it's appropriated in lump sums. They dole it out on a case-by-case project. They dole it out first to those projects that have come forward with a local sponsor. In this case, the local sponsor hadn't come forward yet. Now the Denali Borough has written this letter for the transfer of responsibility agreement and passed a resolution. And also has a letter designating Alaska Transportation Consultants as their engineering department. So in my discussions, it was just that no local sponsor had come forward yet.
that would comport with the relationship that I have with the department also. The only other question that I had is that I've gotten some information today, and so I haven't had a chance to check up on it myself, but that the National Park Service had done a study back in 1997, and the conclusion of that study was that Northern Access doesn't fit the management plan for the park.
Senator, I'm not aware of that. I'm not sure if that's one of the things my staff has come across.
I've read that study, Senator Elton, through the chair. I think it's a difference in opinions.
It may be helpful, Mr. Chair, if a copy of that study could be part of the packet or distributed to members of the committee.
But as I mentioned in my testimony, we did track down. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have.
I do. The Denali Task Force was commissioned to do a study on transportation issues in the park. One of their recommendations was against a North Denali access route. It went back to the National Park System Advisory Board, which then passed an amendment, and I have a copy of the letter, overruling the Denali Task Force and saying that they did not concur with that decision. And I will provide the committee with copies of that resolution.
Senator Wilkins?
Mr. Chairman, I just need to comment. 300,000 visitors travel to Denali National Park expecting to see Mount McKinley, because that's what they were marketed. That's what they were told they were paying their money for. Less than a third of them have the opportunity to see the mountain, and a fraction of those actually see it. We promise these visitors, we Alaskans promise these visitors a mountain, and what we do is we show them an ugly canyon. It's like inviting your friends over for a steak dinner and you feed them soup. This project, and I'll for my purposes envision a narrow gauge railroad from Healy to Kantishna, will be a world-class access to a world-class mountain. And it's high time that we move on this. And it's one of the most exciting projects in Alaska. And it'll treat our visitors, it'll fulfill the promise that we give to them, and we take their money. Person that sat in the seat before me is now in the tourism business. He hauls a small busload to Denali National Park every day during the summer. And at the peak of the tourist season, about 2 months, he has to buy tickets 2 days in advance for his visitors in order to get on a rickety old school bus, and indeed that's what it is, it's a school bus, to travel 3 hours in and 3 hours out on a two-lane gravel road. So that means that if I'm and my family have driven to Alaska and I want to stop to see Mount McKinley, I can't go in and see Mount McKinley. I have to wait 2 days to get a pass in order to drive on a gravel road to view Mount McKinley. It's a shame the way we treat our visitors. And I applaud Senator Terry Oates as taking the next step to tell Senator Murkowski and the people of Alaska that we're serious about this project. That this is world class, and it's high time that we develop that mountain and develop the view of that mountain in an environmentally friendly way that fulfills the promise that we make to our visitors. Thank you.
I've been to Kantishna from that side and seen the mountain. The best pictures that I've ever taken of the mountain is from that access, and so that's just a comment of my own, but anyway, we have Senator Ward.
Thank you. I think this is a good project. I'm looking forward to someday to be there. I would hope that maybe the same procedure could at least be considered for a Juneau access road too.
Bradfield, don't forget the Bradfield.
And Bradfield.
Nick Crossington.
We have people.
Give you a ferry.
Others to testify if you'd like to. Just kind of stand by, and if you have comments.
Thank you.
I did want to add, if I could, The report done on the Denali Task Force, was that task force chaired by Lauren Croxton? I think it was.
I can provide it by the end of the meeting.
Yeah, because it's my understanding from Mr. Croxton that the Park Service and the appointees made by this administration to that board distorted that report so significantly that that's why it was overturned when it got back east. I mean, it was that grossly done, and he was very frustrated over that, if that's the same report I'm thinking of.
I have copies of the letter that was passed, or the resolution that was passed by the Park System Advisory Board, if members of the committee would like.
I would like that, yes, sure.
Yeah. And do we have someone from DOT here to testify on this?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Name is Tom Brigham, Planning Director at DOT. I'm glad the committee is seated. My comment basically is we have no problem with this bill on the assumption that the appropriation is in addition to the existing capital budget.
Any questions of the board?
Yes, on the line of thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the line of avenue that Senator Taylor was going on, it looks like here. What would be the best way to ensure that if in fact this comes about, even if it is a reduction from other monies other places, but if in fact this does come about, what would be the best way to make sure that it doesn't go through DOT and it goes directly to the Johnny Gonzalez of Denali Borough?
Through the chair, Senator Ward, I don't know if legally you can do that, but we would have no problem whatsoever in putting some kind of language in the bill that would basically show clear intent that the funds are to come through DOT, go to the Denali Borough to provide local match. You know, it's not a wealthy borough. They've come forward to be the sponsor. You know, we have no problem with the idea here at all. And I think you could engineer some language that would make that clear. We would have no interest in short-stopping that or anything else.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Tom. Or is there any questions? Senator Elfman, Senator Taylor.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Help me out just a little bit with what happens next. Assuming passage of the bill, now that there is local sponsorship, what does that do to the position on the STIP?
Well, given that all of these high-priority projects were programmed between the beginning of T21, which was 1996, I believe, 97 program, and the end, which is 2003, this project, I believe, is in 2002, 2003 in the STIP. It's not really that far out. And my assumption is it would remain in 2002 if that was appropriate. It could probably be moved up into sort of a special category of funding. Some of those projects are still not moving very quickly. So it's not as if, there would be a problem with the Denali Borough initiating this project if they had the local match in place and they were the sponsor and ready to go.
And one other question. It kind of gets back to a question or a point that Senator Taylor had raised earlier. I mean, I'm assuming that when he was talking about possible other studies that may be mentioned directly, and I can't remember what you preliminary engineering, I think, was one of them. I mean, I'm assuming that if you say environmental analysis and other necessary studies, would preliminary engineering be one of those other necessary studies in your interpretation?
Senator Elton, yes, it would. Although, as a comment, I think you can easily, given a project of this nature, I would estimate that $1.5 million would not be sufficient to complete the environmental work.
And I know, Mr. Chair, that I said that was the last one, but one other thought. I mean, is there any kind of an estimate? I mean, after the preliminary studies are done, after there's some environmental analysis, do you have any rough idea of what punching a road through would cost?
I do not, Senator Elton. There have been, I know, rough estimates, sort of preliminary engineering of a sort at least done in connection with the railroad proposal. And I'm not at all sure about a road proposal, but I know a number of folks have been pursuing the idea of a railroad to providing northern access to Kantishna for a long time. So I know they do have some numbers.
Yeah. Then just a comment. I think I agree with a lot of what Senator Wilken said. The only disagreement I might have is having been a person who's used the park since the time when you could drive your own vehicle, and I would never describe the route to the mountain as an ugly canyon. I mean, it has an awful lot to offer visitors. So. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I just want, I know you were, I wanted to hear from you, Tom, on the, I was asking, had the route been designated yet? Was there a kind of right-of-way corridor or something that was set aside? Do you know if DOT has done that? Or?
Chair, Senator Taylor, I'm not aware of any right-of-way corridor. There, you know, it does start out with the blanking on the name of the road, but there's a road that heads out from Healy along that way, and you know, covers part of the
route. Mm-hmm.
The initial part of the route. There is some state land, and then you know, then you're into the park. There's certainly a lot of lines on the map. Yeah. The rail proponents and everybody have drawn. I'm not sure how, you know, how much of a rail corridor there is there, though.
One other thing. Do you have any ballpark idea what the quantity of state-owned land is that we're talking about that would be accessed by this route?
I do not, Senator, no.
You know, are we talking sections or townships or... You know, townships 6x6.
I think the Wolf Township is all state land. And my guess is that most of the route would go through the Wolf Township.
I mean, that's 36 square miles of land.
I think,
Senator Wilk.
Gene can help me, but if you go from Healy to Kantishna, the Wolf Township is about half, that's all state land, is about half of the route, and then from here to here is federal land, and that's about half the route, if I remember right.
Well, it must be townships. Plural then, because a township itself, I think, is 6 miles by 6 miles, and this route is talked about as maybe a 60-mile route, so 30 miles of that is state land. We may be talking about a vast amount of acreage.
Yes,
Senator Terrio.
Actually, I did a study on DOT records back in the 80s and wrote a little report after going through their files in the northern region on the history of what's called the Stampede Trail. The Stampede Trail starts off, and right here, this portion that sticks into the park boundary is the Wolf Townships. Mm. The Stampede Trail starts at the Parks Highway, goes through the Wolf Townships, and then went to a mine that was run by a gentleman named Earl Pilgrim in the Stampede area, that which is somewhere around here. That was one of the pioneer roads that was built in the early 1960s under the state's pioneer road program.
That was actually a road? People could travel it?
It was a road that, when it was first put in at a very modest dollar amount, there were no bridges over the rivers, things of that nature. It was supposed to be, supposed to be able to pass it with a four-wheel drive vehicle, I believe. Once the road was put in by then UTAN Construction, there was some disagreements over whether it was up to snuff, and it didn't end up being used as much by the mine as originally envisioned. But you can see the Wolf Townships cover about one-third of what would be the total distance. You go up here around the corner of the park, or what was the corner of the park, and then into Wonder Lake. So it's about one-third of the property would be on state.
Okay, and that that does have a road going through it today?
The Stampede Trail, there's up to 8 Mile Lake, I think. So there's about an 8-mile stretch that a lot of people use for recreational access into this area. Beyond that, it becomes somewhat of a trail, an actual road. But whether you could find evidence of that old Pioneer Road all the way to what used to be the Stampede Mine, I'm not sure.
But then from the Stampede on into Kantishna, is that what the end of the map is?
Yeah, I believe there's a historic...
Well, isn't there also some privately owned property in Kantishna?
In the Kantishna area, yes.
And is the mine site itself, was that ever patented? Is that also private property?
Senator Taylor, I know the mine facilities were destroyed by the Park Service, which was fairly controversial a number of years ago, so I'm not sure what has happened to that. What was the mine?
Whether that's still privately owned or not, huh?
Mr. Chair, if I can answer that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. Identify yourself, please.
Did Kara have any effect on this one?
Not sure.
I mean, I thought some of the guys in Kantishna were waiting to get paid out of the Kara bill from lands that the federal government had basically destroyed any of their ability to use, and maybe they were going to get paid off for it.
No, this is not before that bill was done, sir.
Yeah, okay. But the only point I was making, Mr. Chairman, if I could, is that we may be looking at several thousand acres there of state land that currently is very valuable land, apparently for recreational purposes, and that is another asset that is not available to the public right now because of the lack of road and rail transportation in that area. And are you saying the park wants to take that land back too?
Senator Taylor, the state owns this land. And there was some discussion this fall about a potential land swap and purchase, and I think the price that was put on this acreage was about $90 million. But as a representative for the people that live in the Denali borough area, that, you know, a sale of that land into any kind of park status would have to be something that I would, you know, oppose with all my might. And I think that proposal to perhaps make that swap and sale has been stopped.
Senator Dale.
On that point, it may be instructive to the committee to understand that the state didn't propose to sell it. They proposed to give it to the university as part of the land grant.
The university was proposing to sell it. Yeah.
Science.
Senator Wilson.
Mr. Chairman, it would be handy as this moves on to finance to have that as part of the package for future reference.
Is there anything else? Anybody else in the room here to testify?
Denali.
Please come forward.
Thank you, Chairman Cowdery and committee members. My name is Susan Schrader, and I'm testifying today on behalf of Alaska Conservation Voters. Alaska Conservation Alliance and Voters are sister nonprofit organizations. We have 44 member organizations, which represent a total of roughly 35,000 registered Alaskan voters. Many of our members each year join with visitors from other states and other countries to enjoy activities within our national parks. And our organization is particularly committed to the conservation of our wilderness resources and the values of our parklands here in Alaska. We have several concerns with this legislation and with this concept. I do believe you have my position paper there. I think when you consider the project, of course, remind yourself that there is a road 17 miles to the south, ends at roughly the same place, and it's difficult to justify putting $264,000 towards studying this very speculative and what many people consider an unnecessary project. I think, as we've heard in other committee hearings on other road projects, there are plenty of opportunities to spend money on roads around the state. The final price tag has been set anywhere from 87 to 213 million, depending on whether it's a road or a railroad. That's going to require a substantial match by the state, and it's going to be especially troublesome because the National Park Service does oppose the project at this time. We see that there are many other better opportunities to promote tourism in Denali National Park. The main problem with the Northern Access is it has not been demonstrated to have much demand. As we've already heard, the National Park Service doesn't promote it. The Park Service also feels that looking out 15 to 20 years, their current plan can accommodate increased visitation. The other problem with this route, main reason people come to Denali probably is to see the mountain, but probably very close second is to see wildlife. And this particular route does not have good opportunities for wildlife viewing. So I think we run the risk, in contrast to some of the other comments that were made, of actually increasing visitors' expectations and then leaving them somewhat dissatisfied because particularly of the situation with the wildlife.
If I could interrupt you, I'm sorry. You stated earlier, and I was thinking about that there's better opportunities for doing other roads by this. Which other roads would you think is a better opportunity?
Chair Cowdery, we'd be happy to look at any routes that the legislature or DOT would like to propose. And of course, as you know, we would scrutinize them and look at their merits and their drawbacks.
Thank you.
The other thing to keep in mind that Denali National Park does not have a closed door policy towards park users. Both the Denali entrance area has a development plan, as does South Denali area. And these plans are looking at visitor center, interpretive trails, picnic areas, campground sites. So the park is looking at additional opportunities to address visitor needs. The other issue here is where the development is taking place. And again, Southside development, just because of its closer proximity to the major population areas in the state, i.e. Anchorage, certainly seems to be a far more reasonable place to focus on development. Lastly, as you're probably all aware, is that this is a very, very controversial project, not only nationally, but also here within the state of Alaska. There was a question a little bit earlier about the other 9 worst road projects under Taxpayers for Common Sense's report. I don't know what those other 9 roads are, but I'd be happy to get you that information. But indeed, this road was one of the 10. We do, of course, have additional concerns about the possible transfer of responsibility to the borough. This is a local government which does not have any road powers at this point, and that's going to be particularly a problem from our standpoint. In summary, we think this is an ill-advised project. We think there will be considerable controversy around this project, although I'm sure that comes as no surprise to you, and we would suggest that you vote against it.
Have you visited this area?
Chairman Cowdery, unfortunately, I've not yet had the opportunity to be in this.
This is a good opportunity for a beautiful area. Senator Taylor?
Well, it's because you can't get there.
Yeah. No, but yeah, you can. I've been there.
Are you flying?
I drove into Cantitia and walked over that way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You can drive into Cantitia?
We used to.
They used to hunt there. That's where we hunted.
Okay, we have somebody online that wanted to do a comment. Senator Taylor.
Yeah. So I was concerned about your comment when you said you would have problems with the conveyance of the money to the Denali Borough because it did not have road powers and that you thought that was a problem. Could you explain that?
To the Chair, Senator Taylor, my understanding, as I think has been pointed out here, the borough is a relatively new borough. They're not particularly very financially well off at this point. And I think our concern would stem from the ability of them to properly manage the work that would need to be done on the construction and the maintenance long term of this road and the development that would occur secondary to that road development.
It would
There's nobody contemplating that the Denali Borough would be responsible for the maintenance of or upkeep of the road. I can't imagine that unless Johnny's volunteering to somehow tax his people and go do that. I mean, I hadn't heard that. What I was concerned about was your concern that transfer of the money to a borough that did not have road powers might have some flaw within it, and I wanted to explore that.
Senator Taylor, I don't have all the details on that specific argument. I'd be happy to get you some details on that.
Please do. Oh, just to the sponsor and to the chair, my only concern is if, in fact, somebody's going to file suit to prevent the expenditure of those funds because they don't have road powers. And we ought to know that before we pass it so that we make certain that we convey it to somebody who does legally have the power to move forward. I wouldn't want to see us caught in a catch-22 and not be able to proceed.
Senator Allen.
Well, I was going to ask the same question, whether or not the lack of road powers would impede the local sponsorship aspect. And I don't know if Mr. Brigham would have any idea about that. Apparently not, so I think it's a good question.
Thank you. Senator Ward?
I know that you said you would get them for the committee. I just would like to have them, these other nine worst roads, because I'm curious how many of them are in Alaska. So since if you have that, and since you said they exist, I very much would like to have that given to the committee.
Through the chair, Senator Ward, I'll be happy to get that for you. I am curious, too.
Senator.
A couple of questions. Schrader, in regard to, you keep referring to this as a road, would your objections to this change if you knew that it was going to be a rail access and not a road?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkin, our objections may change. I again, it would be dependent upon what the project looked like and indeed how the ownership of the project was structured. It's premature to say.
I would offer that as perhaps an option mm-hmm. you may want to think about.
Sure.
Secondly, you said in your testimony that the Park Service doesn't have a closed something. I didn't get that. I just want to make sure I understood that right.
Yeah. Again, through the chair, Senator Wilkin, that's at the top of page two. I stated, and probably didn't state very succinctly, a closed door policy towards park users. Sometimes the Park Service does come under criticism for not being perhaps as responsive to visitor needs as some folks might like.
Well, just so you and I are talking about the same thing. During the summer, the Park Service closes the gates to the road that leads to the mountain, and it opens them again in the fall. And the only way to get through there is on one of these buses or with a permit. So to me, that's a closed door that they open when they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they meter the number of people on those buses as they wish for the experience that all these people pay their money to go see. But there's no question that there's a line at the door to get in. So I would want to make sure that you don't think that anybody goes there can just go in because they can't. And then the last, the viewing opportunities on the north side of the mountain and the south side of the mountain are different. Are you aware of that? The chances on the south side of the mountain are 1 in 3 on any given day of seeing the mountain from the road in. These are numbers I've known from.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're probably 10, 15 years old. They're 2 in 3 on the north side of the mountain. So there is a reason to have access on the south and on the north. The mountain and the park is big enough for as many people as we can put in there in a friendly manner. So there is a reason to view it from the north, and that is so that they can see what they came from. I can assure you, ma'am, that this is not a controversial project in my town. This is broad support. And I think people are like me. I've been in Center Elton, I think you're exactly right. I didn't mean to infer that the canyon to get to the mountain is ugly. The canyon that's developed at the mouth of the park is ugly. And it's ugly because the canyon interspersed with hotels that are attached to the sides of hills. And there's flags flying and trinkets being sold next to a beautiful river. So the point is that I've seen that, and I've probably seen it 50, maybe 100 times in my life. And people know, as I do, there's a pent-up demand, and to see that mountain, and experience the grandeur of that mountain. If we can do with this project in an environmentally friendly manner, that's what we're about, and that's what I would hope that you folks would be broad enough to understand that and to support that. And you need to come up in the middle of summer and see what I see all the time, because in many respects, it's a very sad sight. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Yeah, just one question. Susan, could you name for me any road development project that your organization has ever supported? You were implying that you had supported some. You would look at new projects and give them some balanced review, and I just wondered if you'd ever supported any.
Through the chair, Senator Taylor, I knew you were going to ask me that question. I suspect most of our members in Anchorage have always supported road maintenance on existing urban roads.
No, you misunderstood me. I'm talking about road development project of a new road going any place. I'm not talking about repaving the street in front of somebody's house in Anchorage, which we do about every 2 to 3 years. No, I'm not talking about your road that you drove on to get here. You know, I frequently wish that people of your organization and the anti-forces, I wish every time that they showed up at a meeting, they had to leave their house out in the valley and walk overland to get here. They might understand why we want to build a few roads in this state, because they use those, but they don't want anybody else to have one, but they sure want a paved road in front of their own house. I want to know if there's ever been one that your organization ever supported, where it was a new road anyplace.
Through the chair, Senator Taylor, I'm certain that in certain urban areas there have been roads that we have not opposed. I think your comment concerning wishing that I'd probably take a bike from my house, it's 13 miles here.
No, it's on a road. I want you up through the brush in the wilderness. That's what you want to leave this as a wilderness.
Excuse me, Senator, we're fortunate in Juneau that there's actually a bike trail most of the way that's separate from Egan. I also use money, but I don't rob banks, and I don't condone robbing banks. And in a similar respect, I use roads, but I don't condone building roads in areas where there will be significant environmental impacts that outweigh the benefit of the road.
Well, you have an opinion about that. You have no information that you can offer us, do you? That there are significant environmental impacts, these are your words, that would outweigh the benefit of the road.
Through the chair, right, I don't know what all the environmental impacts of this road would be.
Nor do you know what the economic benefit of the road would be, right? So you have no information on what would be bad, nor do you have any information on the values that would be good. But you've made a conclusion based on that yourself, and I respect your opinion on that, that's fine. All I'm pointing out is you don't have that information, do you? And if you do, I'd like to see that information.
Through the chair, Senator Taylor, my first point was we don't think this is a good use of money. $264,000 is not an insignificant amount of money. We are looking at the maps, we are knowing from experience what that area looks like, and we are suggesting that this money can be put towards other projects, other road projects, if you will, in the state that we are suspecting will probably have less environmental impacts. Our point is that we don't think this is an appropriate use of money, of the state time and effort to go into this project, given some of the other points that I made.
I guess what I'm referring to is the very same thing. You're talking about a cost-benefit analysis. You're saying that we should not spend money in this way because there are other areas where that amount of money would be of greater benefit, right? And all I'm asking for is, have you done any cost-benefit analysis on this road, or are you aware of any cost-benefit analysis that has been done? Otherwise, you have no more information about this than we do, but we actually do, as a routine matter. Review, our Department of Transportation does it all the time. They do cost-benefit analysis on where money should be put on roads. Should we match federal match, 90-10, whatever it is. We always look at that. That's why the DOT does a STIP program. They make these decisions. They do that based on an actual assessment where they go out and they figure out the cost of something, then they figure out the benefit, and then they make an analysis. You utilized numbers here of projected cost from $87 million to $213 million. I'm assuming you got that from someplace. And you're saying that in your opinion, the cost outweighs any benefit that would occur from this. I shouldn't say put it that way. The cost would be countered by adverse environmental impacts. And I've asked you if you have any specific information on adverse environmental impact or cost or what the benefit ratio is. Do you have any of that information?
Through the chair, Senator Taylor, the arguments are outlined in my position paper, and I did refer to the fact that this area has been studied, the wildlife in the area, everything else, many aspects of it have been studied. In the opinion of the organizations that belong to ACV, we are suggesting that this is not an appropriate place to put a road at this time, and we don't feel it's appropriate to spend state money in evaluating the road or a railroad in this area.
So bottom line, you don't have any cost-benefit analysis that have been done. You're expressing an opinion only.
Through the chair, Senator Taylor, I'm not going to argue with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome to retain.
We have people waiting to testify, and if we could keep it down, but I'd like to ask Senator Allen.
I had raised my hand earlier, Mr. Chair. I just would suspect that if we go back and we review the history over the last several decades, we're going to find that we don't have new roads, not because of environmental organization opposition, but because other things have happened. And I would suspect that most of those things include whether or not it's economically feasible to build the road, and the rest of it probably comes into the way we prioritize, both as a legislature and as a Department of Public Transportation and Public Facilities, the way we prioritize projects. And I can tell you that it's been my experience that a lot of that prioritization has said we need a harbor here more than we need something there, or we need an airport here, or we need port improvements there. So I guess I wouldn't want the committee to think that I believe that we don't have new roads simply because some environmental groups have opposed them.
Cost-benefit analysis, so I say we do it every day.
Thank you. I'd like to go. And now we have Senator Murkowski's office and I think the mayor online to testify. Is that right?
John?
Johnny. Anyone there?
Johnny's gone.
Hello.
Yes, this is Mayor Gonzalez. Did you want me to speak now, or are you waiting for Senator Murkowski's office?
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, why don't you go first?
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the Transportation Committee. I've been hearing what folks have been talking about, and obviously I see some good conversation come out of that. I do kind of resent the last person's vote. To me, it's not like she was saying that the downward has to do it in a way. They didn't have the expertise to do this job. And by the way, when I'm talking about a road right now, or whatever, I'm going to
go back to
the Thank you.
in the nomination fund with only benefit the borough. But it benefits the whole state of Alaska. We have, and I've heard some of this one there, that we do owe our visitors some courtesy. We ask them how to get into that fund. Less than half of the people get to go into the pond and the fishing. I've had people come to me and say, you know, we love your country, your state, we love this area, but we probably won't come back because it's a shame we couldn't even get it in the sea, halfway through the sea. The mountain, we were allowed only to go about 8 miles, and that was it, you know. So just think about it, think about over 300,000 people that come into that area and are not allowed to go into it. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I want to make sure that we understand that we're talking about a study in the EIS, and this bill, as I understand it, talks about providing the match, SB3 talks about providing the match for the study and not for building anything yet. I suppose we should be careful as to understand where we're going. We've got to start from the start to finish, and we're at the start right now. If, in fact, I think that if in fact we find it, that the EIS proves that it won't harm the environment, that everything's going to be okay, then obviously we're going to go to the next step, and then so further. Right now, I think that what the board is concerned, especially is those 30 miles that go from this now highway into the park. And then, of course, after that, we have the National Park landscape over. The EIS, I hope, goes all the way to Kansas, so we can really find out once and for all by the group that's willing to tell the truth, to say, yes, this is what's going to happen, and we can do it, we can't do it, you know. I believe that it's our responsibility, we the state, and we the local government, to look into this and to find out once and for all, can we, in fact, do something in the environment correct? Do we look at jobs? Certainly we look at jobs. The state of Alaska always looks at jobs. We, the people, especially in our bond areas, are always having a hard time finding work. But that's not the only thing that we're looking at. We're looking at the overall picture in our regions. What are we doing that down the road helps all of the state of Alaska? The fact is that those people that come to Anchorage, that come to Fairbanks, that come into the interior, all are going to come to the Mountain Girl to look at that mountain. We have seen numbers grow throughout the last 8 years. That's amazing. I think that we have more room for those people in the national park to go into the lake there. I believe that we would get more of interest. Yes. The problem is that we ourselves are holding them back because we ourselves are not giving them room to do what I think they need to do. Are the environment groups, such as the person that spoke before me, are they ever going to agree to something? No, they're not. They're going to stop everything, and everything we try to do, they're going to try to stop it. And so, to me, I understand that, and it's fine, you know. But sooner or later, we're going to have to, those people in the house are going to have to start thinking about the fact that we can't always oppose things. We must try to build something at one time or other. Mr. Chairman, thanks for allowing me to talk about this, and I certainly can answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
No, thank you, John. It's Robin Taylor. Good to hear from you, and I hope everything's well with you and your family. I only had one question, I guess, and that was, are you aware of cost-benefit studies that have been done on this route? The same question I asked the lady before you.
Right. Yes, I am aware of it. There was the study that was made by the Park Service itself. They had a number on there. They were asked to make the feasibility study, and they were told that they didn't care about what. The thing to know is that they didn't want to figure out it. But I believe there was a figure come out of the center, and I don't have that figure with me right now. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you, I'm talking to you from Tucson, Arizona right now.
Well, thank you much, John.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. And also, we have Senator Mikowski's office there, staff. You wish to testify?
Mr. Chairman, I have a fair statement. I'm sure you answer any questions you might have, but I might mention that Senator Kraski has been working on this for about 12 years. Mm-hmm. He had three simple objectives in mind. One was to provide access to make it environmentally sound. And number three was to alleviate the overcrowded conditions on the existing roadway and enhance the visitor experience at this premier national park.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else to testify online?
I have a question for him, John.
Or ask questions?
Yeah. Could I just ask him a question? Well, can you tell me what the size of Denali is as compared to the size of, say, Glacier National Park or Yellowstone National Park? I mean, is Denali bigger or is it smaller? The reason for asking is I wonder what the volume of utilization is of some of our true jewels of our national park system down south. I mean, how many visitors actually travel through Yellowstone Park, and how many travel through Glacier? And so on. And what is the size of Yellowstone Park? I actually think Yellowstone's probably smaller than Denali.
Yellowstone is smaller. But I can get those visitation tickets for you.
Well, the only reason I mention that is that right now this park is at total capacity. It cannot handle one more visitor over and above what the park service is allowing in there today. So you can only squeeze so many people on a bus, and they only got X number of buses to run up and down the same dusty road. Maybe if this is really good for Denali, we probably ought to implement the same kind of thing through Congress in Yellowstone and get rid of those paved roads and that big lodge and put in one gravel road, and everybody wanting to see Yellowstone ought to have to ride on a school bus. I first saw Yellowstone when I was about 7. I saw it again when I was about 15. I would never have seen it if it didn't have a road going through it. But of course, my parents weren't Olympic backpackers that were millionaires, and maybe if they had been, they would have put me in a kayak or they would have packed me on their back across wilderness areas twice the size of Yellowstone in a rainforest environment. Maybe that's what's being advocated. I don't know. I'm assuming also that Congress, in its efforts, and the good senator has probably got access to some cost-benefit ratios that may indicate preliminary studies that have been done on what the cost of a railroad is or the cost of a road and what the benefit, economic benefit of those might be, and of course what the environmental detriment might be. I'm sure those analyses have been done, and I just wanted to make sure that was on the record, that those things have been done, and that there is a basis for, a factual basis, not just opinions, as to whether or not this project should be built.
Senator, as far as I know, those studies have not been conducted on the general route and stampede trail. The environmental impact statement would answer some of those questions.
Well, then we need to get about it, don't we? Otherwise, we won't have anything but opinion to base this expenditure of money on.
Is there anyone else to testify?
Hi, I'm the moderator. I do have three people here who would like to testify.
Please come forward and identify yourself. If you could hold your testimony to about 3 minutes, we'd appreciate it. We have members that have other commitments at 3.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
I myself have lived and worked in what was to become the Denali Borough from 1971 until Included
Pardon me, Nancy. Could you summarize, please?
Excuse me?
Could you summarize, please? We have other... Are there any questions? Thank you, Nancy. Are there others to testify there?
Thank you. This is Troy Nott of National Parks and Conservation Association. Mr. Chairman of the committee, actually, I have no formal testimony. I just wanted to thank you for the task committee and
could you spell your last name, please?
N-A-V-E.
Okay, thank you. Is there others? How about Cole? Is there?
I'm here. My name is Lance Cole.
Yeah.
I represent two of the four businesses that have been hit. Alan Allen, my representative, operating in the Allen North Bay Pond. And I have to say that we service about 3,000 persons there a year, and the insurance there is half directly responsible to the current park road. That's been one of them being able to. I really have to say that a northern access route to the transition was seriously far from the experience that those visitors have. Transition business is probably taking care of about 10,000 visitors here in the front of the park. And a northern access route was seriously far from the experience there. But those are all owned by Alaskan, and the business I represent has actually been out here for 50 years now. And so there is
thank you. Is there any questions? Hearing none, thank you. Is anyone else online?
Is that... This is a very moderator. We have two here in the survey to testify, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Please state your name and try to hold it to about 3 minutes if you can.
Yes, my name is Don Lowell, and I'm a retired as special assistant to the Commissioner of DOT, and I was heading up the team for DOT when we did the feasibility study for the North Access into Denali National Park, and we found that, of course, both a road and a rail are feasible. We found that the average daily traffic in, if a road was built, and don't build speed to the rail traffic, would be 1,100 vehicles a day, and that's just people. It's a great number of people that go in there. And I want to go back to some other questions. Question the road powers of the Denali Borough. And the Denali Borough now is involved with the Department of Transportation in the Nanana Canyon safety project that's in safety planning and design and construction. In fact, DOT requires local government approval on those projects. And so they certainly can be involved in engineering and planning. When I retired from DOT, we formed a nonprofit transportation consulting firm, and we want to promote and assist transportation projects both in the rural area and urban projects that are not being pursued by the state. And this is one of them. And certainly can do that. They do have the authority to do that. And I think that resolves that question of road powers there. I also wanted to say that the existing road into Denali National Park, and I testified to the National Park Service when they held hearings on that, the existing road is probably one of the most dangerous roads in the world. It has steep curves, it's a very narrow road of polyfill pass with vertical drop-offs, no guardrails, and certainly in the transportation in that corridor into the northern access into Denali National Park will be a very safe road. And I think that pretty much heads up that the issue. That I also want to say that the National Park Service, in doing their two studies, one in the 1904 VRW project, they took a look at the northern access into Denali National Park. They didn't come up with a preferred alternative, but they did say, before any other consideration be done, that in-depth pre-engineering and environmental impact analysis will be required. Secondly, the study that the Murkowski requested the park to do, Park Service to do on the feasibility study, also that the National Park Service themselves said that a decision to proceed with the consideration of a North Access project would require funding for NEPA compliance, that's the and environmental study. So the Park Service themselves said that prior to any consideration of a Northern Transportation Corridor, an EIS is required, and that's specifically what this bill pertains to do. And I commend the Senate for considering this, and I wish that you go ahead with that project.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Oh, just a comment. Don, thank you for coming forward. You indicated there are feasibility studies that have been done on this road that were done by DOT back when you were working with them. And your estimated traffic flow, again, was what, Don?
1,100 vehicles a day. And Joe Fields is here, and he's going to respond to the rail traffic and his speech about these studies.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We're running out of people here. That's why I need to hurry.
Is there any other one to testify?
Joe Fields? This. We feel that these were from the public and very supportive of this kind of
substitute proposal.
Secretary of the Interior, and when they got Washington, D.C., same questions were asked, how do you do this park? Do you have a local support? And we produced a resolution for the county borough. We opened up 10,000 square miles with one 20-mile road in it. And I would like to correct whoever said it there. The park is not its carrying capacity. The road is. That's the simple truth of it. It's 10,000 square miles, 6.4 million acres. Now, I don't have any prepared notes here, but I will note that in the BRW study, another factor you might consider is that they said that 1,300 administrative vehicles could be taken off the park road. And if you factor those in, the 1,300 buses that could be put on the road in conjunction with that, you'd be looking at about 50,000 more people that could get into the park. Let's see. I think I'm going to let you ask a question if you have any.
Is there any questions? Okay.
I don't have any either, but I really want to thank both you and Don for standing by and being patient enough to wait to give us your testimony, because you're the only people we've talked to so far that were there during those hearings and that have actually done any studies and actually have objective, hard numbers that we can work off of here.
I'll just make another comment just briefly. I'm looking at my list here, and I'm thinking of environmental folks out there. We started our proposal, and we've always addressed this, as long-term resource protection through controlled and regulated access. We look at this in the eyes of how you are supposed to look at it in a law for the park, for public access. And I've had Brent Worsburn and Al Rutte and even David Brower, they transformed the Sierra Club, telling me they love roads. Now, Brower's gone on to his reward, but this is not something that's the antithesis of the environmental community. This is something that broadly appeals to the general environmental community.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Is anybody else here to testify or online? Hearing none. Testimony is closed. What's the will of the body? Or the committee?
And I would move Senate Transportation Report Senate Bill 3 from committee with individual recommendations and attached, I believe, zero fiscal notes.
That's a committee substitute.
200 and some thousand.
A substitute.
Yeah.
With attached fiscal notes.
Yeah. To debate.
Well, I mean, I didn't see. We don't need a fiscal note. Fiscal note is a bill, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Fiscal note. Don't need to wait for fiscal note.
Okay. Is there any opposition to passing this out?
No objection. Excuse me.
I just want to say something beforehand. I mean, we've heard an awful lot during the course of the testimony, and I guess I'd be more comfortable if we held on to this for another week, not with any purpose of slowing it down. But I mean, we've heard about a 91 study, a 94 study, a 97 study. We've had some discussion of economic analysis and impact studies. I'd be comfortable if we'd get that before we move the bill out.
This bill is the next, is it going to finance?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that I would like to move the bill. I think that this information, I think there was also some possible amendments that we talked a little bit, friendly amendments earlier on, that I think that would be appropriate to the next committee of referral.
Well, I just object to the movement of the bill before we have this. I mean, I don't have any problem at all with finance looking at the financial impact, but I think that it's our duty to look at the.
Will we have a roll call vote? Senator Wilson.
Aye.
Senator Taylor.
Aye.
Senator.
No.
And Senator Cabry votes yay. So we thank you, and we move this bill to the next committee with individual recommendations.
There's a new one for me, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Where is it there? Where are they supposed to sign it?
Oh, the signing.
Okay.
6.5 million acres.